Hello again, and welcome to our podcast, Everyone Has a Story. This is the podcast that complements our two quarterly lifestyle magazines, Hello Sunshine Magazine and In Noosa Magazine. Look for the winter issues of both of those titles on the streets of the Sunshine Coast now. All right, on with today's podcast. You know, there's so many tools, strategies, events, and support available for business owners these days. Coaches, consultants, boot camps, and business breakfasts. Today, we're going to meet a business owner who's fine-tuned the art of conversation, connection, and community. And she's packaged it up into a brand new podcast that's paying dividends. From Lux Coastal Property Buyers, everyone has a story. And today, I'd like you to meet Chris Mount.
So my business is Lux Coastal Property Buyers. So I've been in the property industry 30 years. And how I entered the property industry was I left school because I loved having conversations with people. I thought, what job can I do that I'm talking to people all day? And selling residential property came to mind. But at 18, you know, you can't sell property. So I thought, I'll go.
Why is that?
Because your clients in the neighbourhood I lived
take
in
you seriously.
Would have been, you know, their average age would have been 40. But it's a really good question.
Yeah.
Because there's other things I hadn't considered at 18. But so yeah. I went off and did a business degree, thank goodness, a Bachelor of Business in Property. So it's an economics business degree majoring in property valuations. So I came out of that in...
Oh, that's really annoying, but it's okay.
The background noise?
Well, that truck that just happened to kind of just park there and keep its motor running, but that's okay.
Shut the windows if you like.
No, it's okay.
No. So I came out of finishing my degree when I was 20, 21, and I knew a lot more about the property industry then. It just wasn't about selling homes. And it wasn't just about having conversations with people. You know, you could be an investment, investments, you could be a developer. It could take you anywhere it wanted to take you. But it was the financial crisis of 1991, the property industry crashed. So you actually couldn't even get a job as a valuer back then. As a cadet valuer, we were offering to pay people to take us on. But instead, they couldn't do that for insurance purposes, so they paid us $50 a week to try and get our VAL certificate, and I hated it. I thought, I'm getting paid $50 a week. Something I hate doing. I'm not having conversations with anyone. Where is this going to take me? And I ended up starting my career in property management and then residential sales in inner city Melbourne. So I was probably 24 by then, and I was selling, you know those old warehouse shelves, like McRoberts and Chocolate Factory, that empty spaces, blank canvases, so people would come in and they'd want to buy them. And you get two types of people that were creative and could have a vision in an empty space and could tell their story through what they're going to build in this space. To someone would say, where are you going to put the bathroom? And you're like, okay, you can't visualize, you need to buy a house that's already done. So that was my side of my career in residential property sales. And I loved having these conversations with a huge diverse group of people. And then I thought, oh, after a period of time, I have to use my degree. And I want to use my degree. So I went back into investment sales and ended up moving to Singapore, buying property for people, ended up being in Singapore 13 years. Full circle, I land back in Noosa thinking, what do I want to do?
What do you mean by back? You come back to Australia.
Came back to Australia.
Yeah.
I came to Noosa for a holiday to see if I wanted to live here.
Yeah.
So
After Singapore.
And then went back to Melbourne for too long because I got stuck there for a year in COVID. In the lockdown.
That's recent.
Yeah. Right. And then I came up and I thought, you know, what do I love doing? What job will I do when I'm up here? And it came back to, I love having conversations with people. I love connecting community. Everywhere I've lived, I've connected to community. And my success in property has always been underpinned by having partnerships with local people. I thought, okay, I'm already getting referred business up here in the property world. I don't have any branding yet, so I had a blank canvas. I could brand myself. So I'm not new to the industry, but my branding is going to be. So what do I want to represent? It was really exciting. So we decided would be connecting home, lifestyle and community, because community has always been a strong pillar of whatever I've been doing. If I was in Singapore, it was with the locals or the expat community. I spent some time in Sri Lanka volunteering, getting to know that community. So when I came to Noosa, I thought, oh, I'll just do what I love doing. I'll connect to my joy, which is my Lux. That's where the Lux comes in. Do what's luxurious to you. which is your joy, I'll connect to that and I'll meet like-minded people and hopefully it'll take off from there. It's the best thing I've ever did.
Hmm. What do you, how did you pinpoint, because we've noticed this through the two titles with the magazine, how did you pinpoint, and I'm interested because Melbourne's a much larger city, how did you identify the fact that there's a sense of, more of a sense of community in the Noosa area, as opposed to if you were running a business in Maroochydore, Nambour, Caloundra, what was it that struck you about this area?
I suppose when I say community, I'm talking all of the Sunshine Coast, but I particularly live in Noosa. So how do I compare a sense of community here versus going back to Melbourne?
Well, because you're right. When we expanded the magazine, the basic DNA for Hello Sunshine was this story of connecting through community, which is what Noosa... And we found that in Noosa, there is a real relationship with business owners, with there is a community sense.
Yeah.
When you take that to the rest of the coast, if you're a business owner in Caloundra, you don't necessarily have a lot in common with a business owner in Nambour. And maybe it's geographical, maybe it's... But I'm always keen to find out what you identify.
Okay, so community for me
is
twofold. It's my local community in Noosa and how I connected to that and how I've grown my local business very quickly, connecting to local community. But also how I've leveraged my existing networks that are all around the world because I've lived abroad.
Yeah.
So how did I connect to a global community in Singapore? How did they know what I was doing?
Mm-hmm.
And the best platform for me is choosing something that was authentically me.
Mm-hmm.
So my brand is authentically me, connecting home, lifestyle and community. What's your joy? What's your lux? Well, my other thing that's authentically me is having conversations with people.
Mm.
So podcast, to be honest, how did I stumble across them?
Yeah.
Before I started doing them, I hadn't really listened to anyone's podcast before.
Yeah.
And someone interviewed me for their podcast, a local, an amazing woman, Robin Singh, who works at Noosa Paddle Sports on the river. She's also a yoga teacher, meditation, but she can... She's very well connected to community. She's lived abroad herself in Hawaii as a coach to the Olympic team, you know, in paddling.
Mm.
This is what I've discovered on the Sunshine Coast. You've got really talented people hidden everywhere, great skills. So she said, can I do a podcast with you about healing on the water? Because I had a wellness journey that I could talk through and my recovery was on the water or in the water. So we had a great podcast. And then I discovered, I love doing this. I'm going to do that in my business. So it was meeting someone locally, learning a skill that I really didn't know about, and like, well, this is me. This is having conversations with people. So I took it from there. And my first season was talking to people who had moved to the Sunshine Coast and what was front of mind for them when they moved, because everyone has a different story. As you said, you know, whether, why did they move up here? Some people move up here. Gorgeous stories. They've met a partner, they want to have a family up here, and they're taking the next step, buying a home, and they want it for lifestyle reasons. That's gorgeous. Then I speak to women who have become financially independent at the age of 50, had to give up their family home because of a separation and create a new life for themselves. So what was front of mind for them? So if you listen to my podcast, everyone has a different story.
What's it called?
Living Your Lux Life.
Yeah. L-U-X-E.
L-U-X-E, Living Your Lux Life. And that is tapping into your joy.
Yeah.
So no matter what brought you up here, how are you tapping into your joy? And what tips can you give other people who are thinking of moving up here? Because moving locations for some people it's a really big thing. There's lots of fears they have to overcome. Or if it's not a fear, or it's a key consideration. And it's good to listen to how other people have navigated those. So talking to these predominantly women, I do talk to a few men as well, sharing their stories. And then I started sharing the podcasts on my platform, my own network. So I don't...
When you say on your platform...
I'm only on Spotify.
Social media.
Spotify, because I haven't learned how to go on the other platforms yet. Like, I'm new at this.
Yeah.
But my platform is like, I have a LinkedIn network. I've got friends on social media.
And they're sharing around.
And it's from them sharing it through their friends.
Yeah.
That people have referred business to me. So I'm a referral-based business.
Yeah.
I don't get anything. I don't want anything from random people off the internet, really. If someone calls me, fantastic, that's brilliant.
Mm.
But it's usually someone who knows me, who's referred me one or two, three people down the track. My podcast, because I like doing them, I think people like listening to them because it's got a few tips in there, and that's how it's helped develop my business up here.
Yeah, yeah, right. One of my favourite interviewed Matt Hobson from Sunshine and Sons, and something that I guess we were really doing all along with the magazine and what you're doing, but he articulated it. He said, we're not a, you know, as a distillery, so we're not a transactional business, but we're a relationships built business.
Yeah.
Yeah, we, you know, yes, we're trying to move product, but it's not, you know, it's more than just the shake of it. It's building that relation and investing in those relationships. Mm.
So our tagline is beyond the transaction.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Okay. So if you come to our events, it opens with, I'm passionate about property, but I'm more passionate about having conversations with people and why they've moved here, why they bought the property they bought, and also taking you beyond the transaction when you work with us.
So all, does all this fall under your Living Your Luxe Life podcast?
Do
you have a separate?
No, we have Lux Coast Property Buyers website.
Yes.
And all this information is on the website.
Yeah, but I mean, the emphasis, the relationship building, does it all come under that one podcast?
Yeah, it all comes under that one podcast, but... You know, everyone has their different platforms, and like, you know, being in property 30 years, I could be holding investment seminars, you know, about the impact of different tax breaks and things like that, but that doesn't bring me a lot of joy. I need to know those things for my clients. But if I was going to jump up in front of people and just talk, be an economic, so, you know, talk about the economy only, it wouldn't, you know, drive me. Yeah, a bit dry. So I love having those conversations at my events, you know, like giving the key snippets of what's happening in the economy, where we're at today and where I see opportunity. But it's taking people beyond that. Like, why are you thinking about buying an investment property and how does that fit with what your family's trying to achieve?
Mm.
You know, why are you thinking about moving suburbs, states or overseas? How are you going to live here that may be different to where you were previously? So we talk about lifestyle a lot.
Hmm.
And we really prod and poke people about the lifestyle they have in their mind when they move up here, because the reality can be somewhat different.
Hmm.
And good examples of that for some people is, I want to live on acreage. Beautiful, the privacy. I've come from London, a London townhouse. We're on the buses all the time. We want to have all this open space. And they've never lived on acreage before. So we take them through properties for acreage. We talk through the pros of living on acreage, what it can bring them, but also maybe a potential con, you know, as in you're tied to the land.
Yeah,
if you like traveling a lot, how are you going to manage that?
Yeah.
If you want to be a lock up and leave like 6 months of the year, how are you going to manage that?
Yeah.
So we talk through those things, and sometimes people then decide, well, I don't want to be on acreage. I just want to have a green outlook.
Mm.
I want to feel open, but it could be, you know, backing onto a nature reserve. So you don't actually have to maintain it yourself. So we have all these conversations with people. And by the time you then, you know, they're your clients, you love them, and you just hope that they find a property that brings them joy. And then it comes on, I want to buy an investment property. So then we help them with that.
Mm.
So it's all about relationships and it's all about conversations. So I think having a podcast comes naturally to me and it links nicely within the business.
Mm. You're a natural talker, and you talked about the fact that you'd like having conversations. So I guess your personality, your ability to and be articulate and get that message across, and charisma will help with that. So who do you have? Talk to me more about your podcast.
Yeah.
Is it just you? I know you said you interview a lot more women than men.
Yep.
Are they potential clients? Are they experts in a particular field? What I know you also, you talked about a lifestyle. Can you tell me more about the people that you have on your podcast?
Okay, yes, I can. So first of all, I was trying to get a cross-section of people in the community and from different suburbs. So I, you know, spoke to Ali Lord from Sunrise Beach, and one of the things she loves about living here is taking her dog for a walk along the beach. There's a pathway under David Lowe Way, which is a beautiful treed pathway. That's her thing she does in the morning, watches the sunrise. And then, you know, she can walk all the way down to Perigian. And that was a nice story. And then she talked about her hidden gems, walking distance from Sunrise Beach. Then I'd speak to someone who lives in Sunshine Beach, while they love it, then in the hinterland. So it was mainly women in different locations. And then I thought, well, I'm going to start speaking to also real estate agents, because obviously I'm talking to them every day. So key stakeholders in their local market. So like if you look at Noosa Waters, Reed & Co. are really strong in that particular submarket. So I spoke to Kate and Monique about their story.
Yeah.
And then we also talked about a real estate.
Kate's been on the podcast. And, she sold her home.
Oh, really? Yeah,
in
yeah.
2021.
Oh, she's good. And she's been on radio too, hasn't she?
I think she worked in sales, radio.
But it's good. So we talk about real estate with them and their tips and tricks for people moving up here. But why did they move up here? What was important to them? What challenges did they overcome? And they're great, great conversations. But more recently, I had a conversation with Nick Humbert, who's from Noosa FM, the community radio station.
Yeah, near the J.
Yeah.
At the J.
Yeah. Great story, because he lived in Noosa Shire, up at Pomona, for a few years, and then moved back to London for 18 months, and has recently come back for a second time around. So why did he choose Noosa in the first place, and why has he come back? A great story, and he chose Acreage the first time, but this time he wants to be down at Noosaville. So not only does he talk about his journey of selecting different property types, which is always interesting to me, of course, but he also gives us these tips and tricks of where to go in the hinterland. So we almost go on a driving tour of the hinterland. We start in Pomona, and he talks about the art gallery at the train station. We talk about the Majestic Theatre. And then he starts going off to this distillery in Curran, and I'm like, hang on, you've forgotten the main gin distillery. So he backs up in his car on the podcast and go into the gin distillery. Virtually talk about what's there, and we go all the way around to Traveston, the recommendations on a winery, then we go to Boreen Point, recommendations of where to eat there. So he talks about all that, then we talk about Mullaney and where to buy cheese and all this sort of rich information. So it's also meant to be about the area and what people enjoy and their hidden gems. So what I found is locals also like to listen to the podcast as well, because they might discover something they didn't know.
Do you find when we first started the podcast was called Conversations in Noosa, because we just had in Noosa. And one of the things people used to say, oh, do you have to live in Noosa to listen to that podcast? I said, well, that's a silly. I mean, really, they're all relatable.
Yeah.
You know, they're like I said, they're tips, tricks, people that have experienced great success, great loss, grief, building a business, all this. So as long as those stories are relatable. How many episodes have you recorded, and how long ago did you start?
I've started a year ago.
Yeah.
A year ago, and I'm up to about episode 18.
Oh, yeah.
So I've done one. I'm up to series 2.
Yeah.
So we had a bit of a break up from November last year, and I thought, what does series 2 want to look like? And it's really interesting.
You've really put a lot of thought into this, which is great.
Oh, of course. This is what I do when I'm sitting on the beach before I go for my morning swim. What? Come on, next podcast.
Yeah, that's good.
But the series 2, I really wanted to think, well, what's important to me as a business owner? And it's really supporting other women in business as well. And also, we live in the UNESCO biosphere, so the environment's really important to people in the Noosa Shire. So Noosa Tourism really helps us set up sustainable businesses, or just think it through. Like, I'm such a small business, but how can I reduce my footprint? And they've been great at thinking that through. So then you look at, who do you partner with? Like in Noosa Magazine, you're very sustainable, in you're a print product, but you do it through recycled paper. That's headed up by Deb, who's also a woman. So Noosa Gifting Co. is also an amazing, incredible woman who's got a focus on the environment. So we partner with her for our gifts for our clients. So we try and think about it that way. So I thought for season 2, I want to speak to more women business owners. Not only, but that will be a theme for season 2.
Well, that sounds like a great ROI on 18 episodes. How do you know that people have, what did they say to you when they go, well, I've listened to this and now I'm talking to you because I want to...
Because they refer to your podcast.
Oh, they say it.
Yeah, so...
They go, I was listening to so-and-so.
So this is a great story, and it brings me joy hearing the story when someone tells me. So I have a person who's contacted me through the internet, made an appointment for a discovery call, and you ask them questions, what's driving them to move to a lifestyle location? So our podcast is about tips moving to a lifestyle location. It could be Byron Bay, it could be any lifestyle location, but common threads. To understand why someone is making that move, maybe from a big city, because, it's a completely different way to live. And they said, we want Ali Lord's life in Sunrise Beach. I said, what do you mean? We want to walk our dog under that pathway.
Right. They name checked one of your guests, the lady you were talking about who lives at Sunrise.
So I spoke to them in January. Fast forward to May, We found them a property in Sunrise Beach.
Yeah.
So it comes up in conversation, and then how did they know about me? They were referred by a friend, I think, based in America, who recommended the podcast to them.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about moving to the Sunshine
Coast. You're building or telling aspirational stories, and then people hear that and they go, I want that.
Well, yeah.
What you
yeah,
just said.
Yeah, that, yeah. That, so, like, and it's like, yeah. And they'll relate to different... But everyone relates to a different podcast, you know, and for them it's more about the dog and the long walks.
Relatability, it depends what triggers that. Yeah.
But someone else could listen to Ali's story and go, yeah, I'm now on my own. How am I going to make a luxe life for myself? What will that look like for me? So it may not end up being I want to live in Sunrise Beach. It might be I want to live down at Mooloolaba, but I'll do that with my dog and I'll connect to community, you know, down there. So our first transaction was actually down in Budrum that we did. Before we created the branding, actually, just through a referral. So we do operate all through the Sunshine Coast, and we also refer clients to Brisbane, who's been a buyer's agent for 8 years, so he's also working under the Lux branding there. So we have clients, if they're looking at that part of Southeast Queensland, we can look after them there as well.
Is that what you operate as a buyer's agent now? So you're you represent a buyer to multiple agencies. Is that what?
Yeah, as a buyer's agent,
you specialise in, or
I only do buy. Yeah, no, that's I'm a buyer's agent. I call myself a property strategist because I really like strategizing with my clients for the best outcome for their property purchase. But I don't sell homes. I'm never on the sell side of selling a home. So when you represent the buyer, you have to represent their best interests in the negotiation. So not only understanding what you think they'd like, there's another truck out the back there.
Yes, there's a fire is this time. There's two trucks out there. There, it's about to leave. It must have heard us.
Well, I'll have to take this out the window. Yeah. I hope there isn't a fire, but what was I talking about?
Your representation.
Oh, yeah, so
of the buyer.
Yeah, we only represent the buyer. So we negotiate hard for the buyer, but most importantly, we buy them the property that aligns to their aspirations, whether it's a home or investment property, and we make sure we get that right. Because if you get it wrong, it's actually quite costly.
Mm.
You know, if you buy the wrong home, the wrong investment property for you, then you're probably likely to resell it in the short term, you know. And if that's not your goal, it's quite a costly exercise.
This idea of having someone represent me as a buyer is kind of new to Queensland. I know it's, you know, it's $1 million listing, that, you know, brokers and buyers agents are, I think, Lux listing, that Sydney show. There's a gentleman on there who's an agent who represents the buyer, but it's kind of new. So can you kind of elaborate a bit more about the advantages of why a buyer wouldn't directly negotiate with? They go, they do an open for inspection, the real estate agent standing at the door with the leaflets.
Yep.
Why would it be better for you to represent me instead of me talking directly to...
Okay. So first of all, I'm a specialist, a property specialist. Yeah. So I've got $1.7 billion worth of transactions under my belt in the last 30 years, which is a big number. But why that's important to my clients is I've negotiated a lot of deals, complex deals, in securing, you know, the right property. So I'm an expert negotiator, but also I understand due diligence, what due diligence you need to do on a property, rather than going blindly. Most people probably buy on average 3 properties in their entire life. So it could be 3 properties over 30 years.
Mm.
So they're not an expert at it. So already we can add value at the table. It's like, why do people use mortgage brokers rather than going to a bank directly? Because a mortgage broker is an expert in mortgages. They have access to all the banks, like we have access to all the real estate agents. We get access to off-market deals, which the buyers may not be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
But we have those relationships so we can negotiate the best for the client.
Mm-hmm.
But we also help, we advise them on value of the property based on analytics.
Can I just ask you, using all that information, and I get that bit about the due diligence, because you can use that as ammunition in terms of negotiations.
Yeah.
But if there's, say, a couple of people interested in the same property and someone's offering a little bit more, but you're kind of, you know the true value of something, how do you kind of pull that fish in, if you know what I mean?
Okay, so there's market value for a property.
Yeah.
And that's purely based on the analytics. You know, what's what have other properties sold similar in the area and how do we compare that to? And I won't give you an exact number, but it'll give you a bandwidth number. So in that bandwidth, if there's a multiple offer, you could say this is a market value, but what is it? What's the value to you to maybe stretch beyond what we're saying is the market value? And some, if you're going to buy something for 10 years, pay an extra $30,000 to what I've just said is I think is intrinsic market value. Well, it's probably worth stretching the extra $30,000 if we think you're going to secure the property.
Yeah.
So it's what is the buyer's motivation? The buyer's motivated, this is a 10-year purchase, and it's exactly what you want. I would recommend stretching yourself. But I've given them the advice. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people do that. And then other people are like, no, we're all about the deal. We want an equity pop straight away. So we want to be at the lower end of the market value or below market value.
Mm-hmm.
So then when we sit down and talk to them about value, like, well, if you want your equity pop with a light refresh, this is what level you need to buy at. And they'll buy the property on the numbers,
mm-hmm.
not from their heart.
Yeah, that's hard though, isn't it? A lot of people...
I think...
Not a lot of people would do crunch, like they do buy with their head and their heart, don't they?
Yeah, I think it depends on the type of person you are.
Really?
Some people really want a great deal.
Yeah.
They're always about the deal.
Yeah.
Was
it crazier, and I just that timeline again of when you started here, was it crazier during the COVID period when there were astronomically or probably overvalued prices in terms of property? Was that harder for you in your business?
There's a couple of answers to that question. When I first moved up here, I was in the middle of that, and I was getting referred business. So I had a certain amount of clients with referred business, and basically you're looking after their interests, and you knew you had to operate quickly. So because I've been doing this 30 years, I can assess value quite quickly. I've partnered with local experts in the building trade, you know, lawyers and things like that, so I can get the information that I need either online or by talking to people. And we also have a team in the Philippines that helps us with due diligence. So I can turn around due diligence very, very quickly, so we can act quickly for a buyer. Now we have longer to negotiate. So we don't, you know, we may often be the only person interested in that property. Just recently, some property has been on the market 3 months or four
months.
Yeah,
yeah, that's all a year, I've heard, compared to 2021.
Yeah, so now, but in the last month, some of the properties that have been on the market for about 3 or 4 months have shifted.
Yeah.
So if you drove around Sunrise Beach 6 weeks ago, there was a lot of properties that had been on the market, say, for 3 months plus. A lot of them have just recently gone under contract.
Yeah.
Or sold.
Yeah.
And I think that just we've had 1 month of no increase in interest rates. You know, that little
window.
Yeah,
there was they missed a month.
Yeah, missed a month. And I think it gave people some hope that we're coming to the top, the peak of the interest rate
rise. Until last Tuesday.
Yeah, and there's been another one.
Yes.
So, but do people still think it's now going to be tapering off?
Yeah, well, yeah.
So last year, I think Deloitte's and EY were saying that, you know, the interest rates will probably peak between May and July this year. We're probably not that far off, you know?
Yeah.
From what I'm reading, so.
What's your, I went to Morgan's, had a chief economist, I think, for Morgan's a little while ago, and his prediction was once the RBA holds, which he had said last year would be about March, then we're going to see the share market start to lift. And what's your feeling at the moment about property locally, first up?
Okay, I'll
in
say
in terms of the rate rises and what's happening.
Yeah, so locally, you know, before Christmas, a lot of people were saying, I'm going to wait till next year to buy because of the interest rates and see how it plateaus out.
Because they're worried.
Worried. So there was uncertainty, so a lot of people were doing nothing.
Yeah.
We bought two properties just before Christmas for two clients, and I know they both bought well at that time because no one was doing anything. And what motivated them to buy at that point when no one was doing anything is they actually found the home they fell in love with, so it suited their family. So they're like, we won't wait till next year. We found the home, right? So what's happening now is January, February, March, April have been fairly quiet. And I'd just say there's been a slight uptick just recently in buyers coming back to the market. They feel like it's the interest rates, you know, there's less uncertainty in that sector compared to last year. And we are seeing rates stabilize in Melbourne or Sydney. They started to go up again. So at the Noosa area, I would say stabilization in the not too distant future, we might see it start going up moderately again. But it's not going to be like what we saw previously. COVID has gone out of the box. Yeah.
And did you, with your experience, going into COVID, I remember the first weekend hearing the news out of France that France was closing all businesses.
Yeah.
It was a Saturday morning watching the news. And I said to my wife, I said, this is like unprecedented, right?
Yeah.
Who would have thought, well, especially for Queensland, not so much for Melbourne, Victorians,
yeah.
and But who would have thought that at that stage, because if you heard this news and it, you know, we didn't know what was going to go, who would have thought that the property prices, especially in this area, would have absolutely gone so nuts that a listing on Friday was sold by Monday? Like, who did you ever think that that was going to happen in that kind of period of time?
No, I don't think anyone
foresaw. In a pandemic?
I don't think anyone foresaw that. But then as soon as people were locked up and people wanted to move to a lifestyle location where they can move around and not be locked in a house, it was a pretty high motivating factor, and they were prepared to do 2 weeks quarantine, you know, if they bought the house. Yeah. So we had this whole shift in how, you know, people operate.
Yeah, sight unseen.
Yeah. So the median house price ended up being higher in Queensland than what it was in Melbourne. Or for the Sunshine Coast, it's 1.1 million, and at Melbourne was about 980,000. You got a much bigger house for that median house price. But yeah, so now that's dropped back a bit, the median house price. Melbourne dropped back a bit as well. So, but it was, unprecedented. But I think what's driving people still to move to lifestyle locations, people haven't forgotten completely about COVID. Some people are saying, I still want the lifestyle. What do they look for in a lifestyle location? 2 hour drive from the airport, which you are from Brisbane, is 1.5 hours. So internationally, if you're a remote worker, you can easily jump on a plane and get overseas. Location to a domestic airport, so you can easily travel around Australia for business. We've got that as well. Access to the internet, so we've got access to the internet. And then access to community. I think that's what people, how are they going to connect to community if they're working remotely? So they're the sort of things that they look at when they're moving to a lifestyle location. And the Sunshine Coast has all of that, you know. And improved infrastructure with the Olympic Games. People see that's occurring.
Hope so.
We hope so. Fingers crossed. Yeah.
But the Olympics or the improvement in the infrastructure?
the improvement in the infrastructure, which we started to see, you know, spend on that.
Yeah.
But that spend was already there before the Olympics were announced.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
Is there anything I haven't asked you about, either maybe the way you execute or record or work your podcast or your business in terms of how you operate in your business and your brand?
Yeah.
Anything that I haven't asked you that you think is really important? Something that people should know about
something,
you?
And I'm going to link it to a story as well, but I think if you're, one of the top four tips, if you're thinking about doing a podcast for your own business, because it's an extra thing to do, right?
Yeah.
It takes you away from your core business.
Yeah.
Is it worthwhile doing it for you?
Yeah, well, I've read, this is interesting because I have, in the past, have written about this. If you take what's at your core of your business and then there's kind of two intersecting circles, and so you don't want to make it too dry, but then take what's of interest to the people, where those circles intersect in terms, that's the content point.
Yeah.
But sorry, I interrupted you. But you
I wrote these down. Hopefully I can find them.
Tell me about it.
I would say the tip is you'd have to find a topic that is authentically you.
Yeah.
So what's authentic about you and your business, and talk about that topic because then you're passionate about it.
Yeah.
Don't try and follow someone else, what they've done, because then it won't be you. Think about how you're going to use the podcast. So you could put it, you know, on all the platforms, and you're competing with everyone else who's got a podcast. So you really have to think, how are you going to use that podcast in your own network first? I think people in your existing network, whether it's a business network or a personal network, will share your podcast rather than it just sitting on a platform and then you're competing with Sandra Sully, who's a pretty awesome podcast person. So I'd say think about how you're going to share it, and then how much time you have to allocate in your business to doing the podcast as well.
It is time consuming.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you do all the production on yours? Like, you edit it and do all that stuff?
Well, that's the thing we haven't spoken about. Podcasts were really new to me.
Yeah.
So, that was my last tip, is it doesn't have to be perfect.
No.
So if you tick all those boxes of being authentically yourself, know the network you're going to use it, know that you'll enjoy doing it, you don't have to be perfect to get started. So this year is, I am going to focus a little bit more on using different tools to make the podcast sound better, because I'm just using my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to edit, so I don't edit them. Okay.
Well, sometimes there's a beauty in that.
Yeah.
Because I do this now and I think, you know, all the little preamble and stuff, there's nothing in there that doesn't, you know, that you're not offended by. It's like, well, you know, you can put it all up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, my radio background is also used to be about being very disciplined.
Yeah.
You know, you can only talk for 10 seconds and only one message per second. per break, sorry, right?
Yeah,
so this
yeah.
used to be the mentality. Only
yeah.
one message per break because
yeah.
people can't consume. The thing about podcasts, people make a direct investment in a podcast.
Yeah.
So you can kind of ramble all you like, but you know that they're going to, you know, hopefully
yeah.
they'll see it through
yeah.
to the end.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you're correct.
Yeah. But it is, but I have now started listening to other people's podcasts. So
yeah.
I started saying, I hadn't listened to podcasts before I started, and people saying, oh, you're a natural at this. I'm like, well, how do people normally do them? I'm just having a conversation because that was my first experience.
But the beauty of podcasting, this is my other thing, because I still, you know, have an interest in radio, but my thing is about the beauty of podcasts is that it's accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to have the great voice. See, my thing, and because I like these kind of podcasts is where I interview somebody because I'm not the star. You're the star. The guest is the star.
Yeah.
And the thing, the beauty about...
I'm rarely a star.
No. But whoever's
yeah.
on the other side of
yeah.
the mic. The
yeah.
podcast is not about me.
Yeah.
The podcast is about whoever's on the other side
yeah.
of the mic.
Mm.
And the most important for me is listening.
Yeah.
It's not about
yeah.
the research that you do and sticking to strict questions. It's about listening to what the interviewee says
yeah.
and then responding to
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and having their story.
But I agree,
yeah.
you know, it
yeah.
doesn't have to be perfect. The other thing, and I'll ask you who you listen to, what I've known, especially over COVID, I would listen to Rob Lowe's got a podcast, Mark Maron, Conan O'Brien. A lot of the during COVID when they weren't in the same room, they were just using Zoom. And
yeah.
honestly, the quality, when you listen, I think Rob Lowe on his Literally podcast still uses a Zoom. And the quality's not great, but I was like, well, he's a guy
yeah.
who's under the Conan O'Brien banner of podcasting. And, you know, if he can do that and still, like, why? But you're absolutely
yeah, you
correct.
You don't have to hear me. And when I listen to my podcasts now, sometimes it's all about the person. I sometimes are laughing and feel so much joy by listening to what the other person that I've interviewed, what they talk about, right?
Yeah.
Robin, I was listening to Robin's the other day, but I'm also listening to it like, how can I improve the quality of it
yeah.
now that I've actually listened to other people's podcasts? And I can definitely improve the sound quality in some circumstances.
Sure.
So I can work on that. But to begin with, it didn't have to be perfect. And it will never be perfect for me because that's not my background.
Yeah.
But there's a story I did want to tell, and it's about podcasts for me is connecting to community that would otherwise I would not be able to have a conversation with. So I have conversations with people locally, but then is shared on a global platform. So for some reason I've got a list, you know, 17% of my listeners are in America. Who would have guessed that, right?
Well, how can you explain that? Is that because you have friends? Because you were talking about sharing it within your own circles. Does
yeah.
that happen because you have friends in the States and they pick it up or they see it on social?
I think it started off, I think, with people from Singapore sharing it. And if you live in Singapore, you have people around the world. But my brother does live in Boston, but I don't think he's probably listened to my podcast.
Never
asked him. I can almost guarantee he'd probably say, not yet, I will one day. So I don't think he's sharing it. So
right.
So that's good. But it's all about, it was me connecting to community locally. And that's what I'm passionate about. And there is a story a little bit to be told. I bought some books here. Like,
yeah.
So I was working in the co-working space, which we're sitting in now. And I met some incredibly interesting people working in this space, very talented people. And one of the lady was... Jeanette Wilton, she's a book publisher, cookbook
uh-huh.
publisher. And so I knew her cookbooks before I knew her. So when I was in Melbourne, I had Flavours of Melbourne. So she's written 35 cookbooks.
Uh-huh.
She's done one recently locally for someone. I think this is in Mullaney, Stacey Lum Wan, Our Food Forever. So she's just produced this beautiful cookbook. Just recently, Lucy Liu.
Okay.
So she's just done that one. That's just come out recently.
She's the actress.
Yeah? She
no.
is an actress, but this is a restaurant in Melbourne. It's a...
Sorry.
Yeah, Asian fusion. And
yeah,
it's beautiful,
right.
this impossible
No, you're absolutely
book.
Correct. Sorry, I was...
Yeah. But the thing that got me was Our Barley, Your Barley. Jeanette won the Gourmand Awards for the second best cookbook in the world, which Gourmand Awards is in Switzerland, in Zurich,
mm-hmm.
announced each year. It's like the Oscars of cookbooks. So this person who won this Oscar of cookbooks was working in this space.
Yeah.
But she sold over $500,000 worth of books, and the profits went to Bali during the pandemic.
Yeah, right.
So It was a local chef, a New Zealand chef in Bali. He had to close his restaurants, but he still wanted to feed his staff. And it started from there. So they did this cookbook and all the trading went back. And then, so more recently, Sri Lanka, where I've done a lot of volunteering in the past, they went through a real crisis where the government went bankrupt. I don't know if you knew about this, but they ran out of petrol. So you couldn't even buy petrol. So you couldn't drive your car. They're running out of medicine. This was last year. So we came up with an idea of, could we do a cookbook for Sri Lanka that was similar to Bali? And so fast forward to today, in 5 weeks' time, another cookbook, charity cookbook, is going to be launched. It's called Plates of Goodness, where Johnette Wilton, the publisher, has partnered with the foundation I used to work at in Sri Lanka, called the Foundation of Goodness. And they have a group of women where they teach women how to cook. So then they can have a skill that they can earn money from. It's called the Plates of Goodness, that area of the foundation. So the foundation has many sectors, you know, for children at school to sort of the elderly to teaching people how to become electricians, but it was the Plates of Goodness. So we've partnered locally. This is a beautiful local story. Peter Caravito has provided 10 recipes because he's a Sri Lankan chef. Udi, he's one of his head chefs, is a good friend of mine, so she's also in the book. And then Johnette, who's local. So three local people helped get this off the ground with Kushal in Sri Lanka. And then we also got chefs from Melbourne. So Manny Little from down in the peninsula. So he's got some recipes in the book. So we've partnered with famous Sri Lankan chefs in Australia, plus 100 recipes from local villages in Sri Lanka.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be launched in about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But that's community here, community right where we sit. Helping other community a bit broader from us. So that's a really exciting project. So if you take that theme of community, I have conversations with people in the community. It then inspires other people who are living abroad. Do they want to move to a lifestyle location? Do they want that touch with the community?
It's all connected.
It's all connected. Yeah. And you just keep doing what you love doing. So it's, just love it.
Chris Mount from Lux Coastal Property Buyers was my guest on today's episode of our podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, if you thought or are thinking there's something in that podcast that might resonate with a friend of mine, please feel free to share today's episode of our podcast about. Until next time, take care.